We are now at chapter 4. I suspect that some of these chapters have been challenging. I think you will find this one to flow better. Ready? Begin. Before returning to Edmonton on Sunday nights, Mum would exchange my dirty laundry with 5 clean and neatly pressed white shirts and a bag of clean socks, underwear, and casual wear. I had 10 white shirts and wore a clean one every day. It's probably noteworthy to mention that I did some things for myself, too. I took my suits and ties to the dry cleaners on my own. I don't think too many years had passed before reel-to-reel recording equipment was used as backups for these old-time reporters, so they were all highly skilled in writing pen shorthand. Sometimes after a few drinks in the office after work, they would talk about their incredible retention of up to 20 words, which a few sips later became 30 words. And I want to emphasize my viewpoint that in those days in Supreme Court, lawyers were respectful of reporters and spoke with clarity at reasonable speeds and rarely overlapping. If a reporter interrupted, they cooperated because they were mindful of the record. As a result, I think that reporters were able to write cleanly and therefore able to easily dictate their notes. Perhaps I should offer a quick explanation of the process to produce a transcript back in the day. The court reporters would dictate their notes, complete with speaker identification and punctuation, onto a dictaphone. The antiquated machine used a thin rotating plastic belt about 4 inches wide in which grooves were cut by a needle as the belt revolved. The grooves looked much like those on an LP record. The belts of recordings were sequentially numbered and dated by the reporter with a white wax pencil and then given to the typist who was going to prepare the transcript of a particular case. These belts were single-use and were garbaged once they were transcribed. The typists used thin paper called onion skin. To make multiple copies of a transcript, a carbon paper was placed in between each sheet, up to 5 sheets. Any typing error in the original had to be corrected individually on the other 4 pages as well. No Xerox machines back then yet. It was common knowledge that with smooth and clear dictation, senior typists could key 100 words per minute, almost non-stop and error-free. In addition to the government salaries that typists received, reporters gave them an additional 25 cents per page out of their transcript income. 100 pages meant an extra $25, and that was a huge incentive in those days for typists to be fast and accurate. Appeal books needed 10 copies, so legal-sized gestetner paper with a thin wax film on it was used instead of onion skin. The pressure of the typewriter keys made impressions that removed the wax on the gestetner paper. Each page was then rolled on the drum of what I would describe as a portable printing machine, and the ink passed through the stencil onto a clean white page. Student reporters often helped with the printing, the collating of sequential pages, and binding the transcripts. When it came to appeal books, they were bound on the left, but with the print facing down. When you opened the book and turned the page, the print was always on the left side of the book. That meant that the back of the following page to the right was a clean white sheet, and that enabled appeal court justices to write corresponding comments there as they reviewed the transcript. I know that what I attempted to describe here might sound confusing, but it is more than just flipping the book upside down and gluing the left side. That would reverse the order of the pages. If I remember correctly, it wasn't until about the mid-70s that Sony dictaphones with tape cassettes were being used by reporters and Xerox machines became commonplace. I remember when 4 of these new Sony machines were first brought in by a sales rep to a meeting with staff in our boardroom in Supreme Court. The older reporters were reluctant to volunteer to try one out. Fortunately, a group of us young bucks were eager to give it a shot. After about a week-long trial period and glowing positive feedback, the entire reporting staff as well as typists soon had a Sony dictaphone that could also double as a transcription machine operated with a stop, start, and rewind feature built into the foot pedal.